he preached it to religious people who seemed to be interested. They were following Jesus here in this chapter, and in the very next chapter, in John chapter number 6, those that were at that time seeking the Lord said clearly that you had to have me, and they didn't like it, and they said this is a hard message. Right. And he had a 5,000 membership church split in one day, plus. And that pastor must have done something wrong to run everybody off. And the pastor was Jesus. And there were people that looked like they were really listening to him. But they didn't stay the course. They didn't stay with the message after he preached it. And I believe most of the people in John 6 were in that position of following Jesus and hearing what he had to say. There were Pharisees there, of course, that day when Jesus preached. There were those that were religious in their lifestyle. But they had all the answers. Jesus said, don't do as they do, but do as they say. Because he said what they say out of the law is really correct, but they don't do what they say. And don't follow them. That's what he said in Matthew 23. That's the difference between a true man of God and a Pharisee. A Pharisee will tell you what to do and he don't do it himself. But that man of God, as we know our Savior was, the man God and the God man. And when he preached what he preached, he did. He didn't just say things and not do them. And he was the example to the apostles. He even asked them who followed him, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not things which you say? So he knew the frailty of humanity. He understood that man was frail. And David learned that. And you read the Psalms, he said, teach me that I might know how frail I am, that man might learn how frail he really is. Right. And that the flesh is fickle. That's another thing. He doesn't use the word, but in the frailty of the flesh, there's a lot of fickleness. It's a lot of insincerity. You know how you can have your mind so bent on one thing and then all of a sudden a bird flies over and you go and you lose all your attention. Right. And you just, what happened? You know, just were you really serious? And I believe you were, but it's just the way we are. We're frail. Sure. We have windows in our church and you can see outside. And somebody said, well, you ought to put something over them so they can't see outside because it diverts their attention. Well, if they can get their attention diverted that easy, then they ought to just get their mind settled up with what they're supposed to be looking at and get their mind off of what's going on outside the window. And I've said that. But you know, well, people are people. Well, these were open-air meetings. Jesus wasn't preaching in a building. He was preaching open air. And so, you know, if you're going to get diverted that easy, but it does happen while I'm preaching sometimes, some kid will get up and jump back to the back door there where our bathrooms are and let the door just come shut. And it makes a noise every time. And then everybody, hey, look up here. Somebody shut the door going to the bathroom. About the third time they went tonight. If you ain't got a kidney infection, you're going to have a butt infection. If I get done with you, put a crack going the other direction. Hey, you say, well, I don't know if y'all say it. Well, I'm telling you, it's just anything can divert your attention. Right. It's just what I'm saying, it doesn't take much. And so, God help us. Here's what I'm praying. I preached this the other night at my church, and you know, some little kid will be held and his little head's going this way and you know, mama's patting him or something. And everybody, wait a minute. I'm preaching. Yeah. The kid's not important right now. But it's just that quick. And it's some of my best church members. Some of my best church members. Easily diverted, just kicked out. I mean, men that would, I believe, take a bullet for me. So, and the reason I'm saying all that is because we need to have our attention drawn this week to things that are important.
That's right.
And then there's times when Jesus directed their attention to things that were important, and they didn't like the way he said it, so we'll find another preacher somewhere.
Right.
We'll go another direction. It's easy enough. We'll just go somewhere else. There's other preachers, there's other churches around, and there's other Pharisees that we can listen to, because they agree with us, and they'll pat us on the back and tickle our ears and tell us we're all right.
Right.
And they're a dime a dozen that way. Sure. Finding a preacher ain't easy anymore. You can find, you know, we got Sister Terry pastors the Methodist Church right across in the parking lot on the other side. You can go, she'll pat you on the back and say thank you for your tithe. And, you know, I've said that before at my church. I said, you know, if you want to find one, you can. But if you can follow a woman preacher, you ain't saved.
That's right.
There ain't no way.
That's right.
And I'm going to say something else. You ain't going to get saved under her.
That's right.
And then down the other way, there's Assembly of God. I've said we're the rose between the thorns. We've got Methodists over down there and Assembly of God down there, and we're the rose between the thorns. And I've said that. People have laughed. And I said, yeah. And I laugh too, like, you know, like it ain't a joke. I'm not kidding. But anyway, and down the road they have an associate youth director, Sister Rachel. So it's all around us. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you want to find a message that'll make you feel good, there's feel-good preachers everywhere. Social gospel. If you can entertain me, if you can give me some singing groups to come in every so often and keep me going entertaining-wise, and there ain't nothing wrong with singing. And there ain't nothing wrong with having a special night when singing comes at the church, and we say, oh, but I hope it would be a Saturday night, not a Sunday
That's
night.
Right. Right.
When you're supposed to be around preaching, not just singing. And I do believe that.
Amen.
Now, we've had some services at our church that we didn't have no preaching. And God got in it just in the singing, and I did a little bit in the middle with the Word of God somewhere, and people got touched, and people got to crying, and people got around hugging one another and telling they loved each other. Next morning they was probably scratching each other's eyeballs out, but that night there's the singing and hugging. It's like I was at a preacher fellowship one time, preacher, everybody was announcing where they was from, and he said, well, I'm from Harmony Baptist Church. He said, at least it was Harmony when I left. We're living in a social gospel desire, a prosperity gospel desire, and it seems to be flooding our land, and just about anything goes. The crazy Maddox are taking over. They've took over the television preaching stuff that goes on, and they're always begging for money, and you know, and all. I'm just not going to get involved in that. I'm not going there in my mind right now. I don't want to get diverted that way either. What I am saying is there are those that were following the Lord, and they weren't really following Him. And how you know is whether the message is rejected or accepted. If it's rejected, they weren't following Him.
Yeah.
If it's accepted, they were following Him. That's simple, ain't it?
Yeah.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's easy to understand, ain't it? You don't need a new translation to understand that verse.
Right.
I mean, it's all single syllables. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, if you can't understand that, you're dumber than a sixth grader.
That's right.
They're single syllable words. And most of the messages God preached were just single syllables. And if they were double, it just said believe. And it was just two syllables, and that's pretty easy to understand too, ain't it? So it's not so much that you don't understand, it's that you don't agree. Hello?
Yeah.
And you got to learn to agree with what you're hearing somehow. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They came ready to receive what they were going to hear. They did not come with a judgment against what the preacher was already going to say. Now, if the preacher says something that ain't right while you're there, then you go, well, But they came to hear, why wouldn't you agree with the men that were preaching in the book of Acts? That was preaching, that was apostles. Why wouldn't you agree with them? Why wouldn't you? And why wouldn't you agree with a man that's got the Bible? And it's very clear that he has the right interpretation before he even gets done preaching. Hello? I mean, he's not talking ex cathedra. He's not just giving you his own opinions and making that the Bible. You're welcome. I don't believe I do that. I really don't. I've examined myself. I've prayed, God, don't let me do it. I've asked the Lord, don't let me just get opinionated, but I am opinionated. I am. And I find when I study God's messages, the Lord's messages and the prophets' messages, they are very opinionated. And most opinions is like most people have, two eyes, two ears, and two nostril holes, but they only have one mouth, but that doesn't mean that they're only speaking one thing because they have two ears, two eyes, and two nostril hoses. Holes, whatever you want to call it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody's got more than one opinion, in other words. But, you know, when it comes out, it ought to be single. And really, when you look at things, you don't, unless you got one eye that goes this way and one eye that goes that way, you only see one thing, I believe. I've had problems with seeing two different things before. And how you do that, how you only see one thing with two eyes, that's a miracle in itself. Hello? You might as well think about what I'm saying. I mean, why do you see things that way? If you got two eyes, how come you ain't looking that way and that way? Because you ain't supposed to. Can't drive that way. Huh? Well, you better not. Maybe there was a woman recently hit me in the back end. She was driving that way, apparently. When she got out of her car, she was doing like this, too. I didn't hurt your car. How would you know? You ain't even with it. And then she left the scene of the crime. I called the police. They ticketed her and gave me money for what she did. Still didn't like it. She hit my car. But she wasn't paying mind to what she's doing. And you know, what happens when you're not paying mind to what you're doing is you end up getting yourself in a wreck. Get yourself in trouble. Huh? Like driving down the road going like this. Well, I'll stew with my leg for a minute. Man, I've seen trucks meandering on the road and get up beside them and they're doing like this on the phone. You got 80,000 pounds on there. Get your eyes on the road, pal. But anyway, you know, you not only can hurt yourself, you can kill somebody else when you get that way. Well, so what I'm saying is get this thing down where it's at. And the Lord's going to be dealing with them that are there when he's preaching this. So guess what I'm preaching to? Those that are here while I'm preaching this. Say, well, this was for the Pharisees, and I'm not one. Well, maybe you'll find out you have a few tendencies that way. Say, well, you better get in the message then, preacher, and tell us, let me know if I have any of them tendencies. All right, well, let's look at, let me tell you something else. This is not Brother Rutherford's message. What do they call that when you take somebody else's stuff and you use it as your own? I'm going to be a plagiarist tonight. This is not my message. This is somebody else's. And I'm going to take somebody else's message and preach it to you. But I know whose message it is. So, the Bible says preach the word.
Amen.
And Jesus was the word in the flesh. Yeah. And so tonight I'm going to be preaching the word. Now, yes, I'm going to give you my little slant on it. So the Holy Ghost, I believe, interpreted it to me. So I want you to understand what Jesus is telling these people about what they should have already heard before they even heard him preach. So let's go and look at it. John chapter 5, stand with me. I think I said about verse 30, didn't I? I did. I can of mine own self do nothing. Now listen to me. If the Lord Jesus said that, then what makes you think you can do something?
That's right. Amen.
Of yourself. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me.
Right.
If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Even Jesus said, if I bear witness just of myself, my witness ain't going to be true. I'm going to tell you what the Father has to say. Now, there is another that beareth witness of me, And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now, after these things, Jesus went on to see Galilee, which is see Tiberias, great multitude followed him. So what I'm saying is, the same one, listen, after this, and a great multitude followed him. I just have reason to believe that many of them that followed him over the sea were also there and heard this message. I just happen to believe that. Which means they were interested. Wondered why he was saying these things. Wondered, was he talking to us? Are we the guilty ones? I wonder what he means by that. And I've learned that those that really want to know the truth will follow further.
Yep.
They'll follow on further. What scares me is those that followed on further ended up leaving him later.
That's right.
And that, you know, I said to my church the other day, I wonder who's next. And some of them are going, and one came to me and said, "Hope we're not ones that you're worried about." I said, "I'm worried about every one of you. What are you talking about? I know how fickle the flesh is. And if you stay here, it's only going to be because, you know, will you go away also? And it's only going to be because you believe that you're really getting the words of truth. That's the only reason you're staying. Was there any other reason why you'd stay? I'm asking you." So, who is and who ain't going to be here, and who is and who ain't going to stay here, and who is and who ain't, is and who ain't and ain't? Well, I'll stick with it. If God has dealt with you, truly dealt with you, you ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
I've told them at my church, if you go somewhere, you ain't really ever heard from God. How can you say that? Well, it's right here in my text. Jesus said it. He said, and ye have not heard, or ye have not his word abiding in you, verse 38, for whom he has sent, him believe not. You don't even have his word abiding in you. Because he who he sent, you don't even believe him. Now, was he talking about John, or was he talking about himself? Well, let me ask you, was John sent? So could he have been talking about John? Well, I said this, and I'm just introducing it to you. Stand just for a minute, I'll pray. It ain't going to hurt you. I'm going to stand for a lot longer than you do. Unless you want to stand up and shout with me a little bit. That won't bother me. I'm kind of used to it. But anyways, he said, I don't need any man to testify of me. Well, then how come he had John? Because he chose to do it that way. So if God doesn't need a man, but he chose a man, then that means that man's important.
Amen.
I've asked the Lord, Lord, if you don't want me to go, don't let me go. Stop me. And I wondered if he was stopping me when I went to the hospital a little bit, stopped me from going anywhere else. And I even prayed about it, and I had my church pray about it. Last Thursday night, we had a men's prayer meeting a week ago, last Thursday, I should say, and we prayed about me coming here. So I believe that the Lord must want me here. We prayed about it, and God said to God, if you don't want the preacher to go, then stop him somehow or whatever. I mean, I prayed that anyways. And I know some of them that they said, we miss you when you're gone. We know you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, but we'd just soon have you stay around. But I felt like I was supposed to come. So, I believe what the Lord is saying. Here's what I believe. I believe he's saying, I sent John to you, and I don't even need a man to witness for me. I'm here to witness for myself. But that man witnessed for me.
Sure did.
You've already heard about me through him. Mm-hmm. And now I'm here to tell you. So I want to preach a little bit tonight on why men don't believe. Why men don't believe. There's a reason why folk don't believe. And I'm just going to throw out what I believe Jesus said about why they don't believe. And you're struggling with faith, aren't you? Anybody here struggling with faith?
Yeah.
Struggling believing?
Sure. Right.
I did before I got saved.
Sure.
How do I really know this is true?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know this is for me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I know God loves me? How do I know that?
That's it.
So I struggled with unbelief. I struggled with it. And I'm going to try to help you tonight to get to faith. I'm not here to preach on unbelief. I'm here to preach about what keeps you from not believing. I'm going to do my best to help you believe.
Amen.
According to the Scriptures. But I'm going to show you why Jesus said men don't believe. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone tonight. Well, I don't want to kill the bird of faith. I want to kill the bird of unbelief. But I'm going to hit two birds, okay, with one stone. How's that? I don't want to kill that bird of faith. Of course, I don't think I can, because nonetheless, I don't believe I could. But anyway, you know that's an old saying. You know that. So I'm after helping you with faith, and I'm helping that. I'm after helping you to squelch that unbelief that's in you, quench it out. You quench out other things. I mean, you know, be careful that you don't get too emotional now. Don't be like Brother Tim. He's kind of emotional. You ever felt that way? You're welcome. You think I don't know? You think I just crawled out of a rock somewhere and I'm ignorant? But you know, Dr. Ray used to say they'll get after you for being emotional. They'll try to shut you down. And they'll try to quiet you down. And one old preacher used to say, you ain't got to worry about much wildfire ever getting started in a Baptist church. There's enough old wet blankets to put out any wildfire to ever get started.
Right.
So, you know, and the Bible does say quench not.
That's right.
And quenching has to do with putting something out.
Right.
So be careful about putting something out that God don't want me put out.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, don't grieve the Holy Ghost either. And so I'll just ask you tonight to pray with me. I'm praying God will let me give more direction out of these verses tonight and get to them and maybe help you with something. My hope is, my expectation, that's how I use the word hope.
Yeah.
I'm expecting God to help us this week.
Amen. Amen.
Father, help me tonight while I preach. Help my friends. Lord, there are those that are following truth. I believe they're listening to truth. I believe they're looking at truth. I believe, Lord, they're lingering around some truth. But what I'm asking, Lord, is that you'd make whatever, however it got real to me, make it real to them. Father, I ask you to help them to get honest tonight. Who are they listening to? What are they listening to? How are they listening to it? Lord, open our hearts and our eyes and our ears tonight that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Things, Lord, that are too wonderful for us. God, they're so wonderful that we cannot fathom them. And Lord, one of the things is that you would speak to men, children of men. You said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that I know there's men here tonight, and that means, I do believe that means humanity, humankind. And Lord, oh, that humankind would praise the Lord for your goodness and for your wonderful works, not to the saints alone. We know you're good to the saints, but to the children of men. God, that you've been good to the children of men. Remind us, Lord, that's all we are in this flesh is children of men. But you have made us the children of God. Might we praise you tonight for the work of God and the work of grace. Might we thank you, Lord, that we've kept where we are because of you, not because of ourselves, and that you've not let us get away. You've kept lassoing us, and you've kept going and getting us in our straying. And Lord, before we got saved, you came and got us. And Lord, you brought us to the fold. And Lord, you've come and you've dealt with us since then. And you've kept us close and you've worked on us. And you've brought us back to some areas, Lord, where we've kind of wandered. And thank you, God, that you've not let us alone. And thank you for helping us on this morning and other days in the past. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help us tonight. I plead the blood of Jesus fresh and new over this service and ask you, Lord, to bind the opposing forces of evil. And Lord, bind that, Lord, that evil heart of unbelief. And might folk repent of that terrible thing. And God, might they turn from their religion, turn from any idol, turn from anything. Lord, that's got their mind on something else. I'll pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated tonight if you would. I pray God heard you pray as well as me tonight so that we can get something from him, get help. Why men don't believe. Now, here before us are our four witnesses that are spoken of that they should have listened to and should have listened to all four of them. The one, of course, being John the Baptist. Now, it says in verse number 33, well, it's not verse 33. Verse number 32, there's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. So Jesus is putting his approval on the messages and the preaching of John the Baptist. Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
Yeah, amen.
Which means if you listen to what he said, you can get help from his preaching.
Yep.
He said that he would fill up the valleys. So you're going to have to get low before you're going to get filled up. He's going to bring down the mountains, which means if you've got pride and you're arrogant, God's going to tear you down to make you low. Because a mountain can't be filled. A mountain's haughty and proud. And he's going to make the crooked ways straight.
Right.
And he's going to make the rough ways smooth. Mm-hmm. Now that's what John preached about Jesus. Somebody believed it. Others came to hear John preach. And they heard him preach. And Jesus is telling these that are here in John chapter 5 that you didn't listen to his witness. So there was some of them that personally heard John the Baptist. Well, they were listening to Jesus that day. Think about it. Think about it. They heard the witness of John the Baptist. And Jesus said, I don't need a man to bear witness of me. Well, then, see, we don't need no preacher. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, I don't need nobody else to witness of me. I can witness of myself. But I'm saying this. It looks as though he chose men to witness for him.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I believe he said that. I believe he said that because now I'm here and you don't even believe me.
That's right.
What he said from verse 30 down, starting in verse 30. He said, I don't need no man to testify me. I can witness for myself. My Father has witnessed that I'm he. I'm who that John said I was. And I don't need John to witness to. I can witness myself that I am he. Y'all hear me? You know what that's telling me? If Jesus Christ himself came here, you still might have some problems.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Boy, if we just, I tell you what, we need a new voice. No, we just might need another one. But any voice that would be new would have something else that was different. Now, a personality is different. I'm different. And I don't talk like Brother Al, but I can. I ain't going to be no fakey hypocrite and talk like I'm from East Tennessee. I kind of like that talk, to be honest with you. And I could do it. The fact of the matter is, if I'm preaching at my church and I slow down, I still sound like I'm from Kentucky. And they'll all say, you know, preacher, when you come back, you talk a little different. And then I get around them Yankees up there and speed up.
Right, right.
I can't help it. I have some kind of southern breeding. My grandpa played a fiddle, not a violin. That tells you there's some country in there. And my brother played a mandolin, and my daddy played a flat top, and I played a bass, and my Uncle Dean played a steel guitar. And you don't play steel guitars unless you're kind of country. Amen. And my Uncle Dewey, he could play like Chet Atkins. If you closed your eyes, and Chet Atkins didn't play like, he didn't play rock and roll, he played like country style. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, my Uncle Dewey could play like that. So, and my grandma liked the beans and fat back in them and cornbread. So, somewhere or another. But anyway, I'm just going to be honest with you. No, I ain't going to say that because this go on CD. But I like the South. Oh, anyways, I'll just tell you that. But anyway, you know, but. God put me where I am.
Right.
And there's people up there that need to hear a witness.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, you've had the witness. You've had the witness of John the Baptist. But I didn't hear John preach, but you've read his messages, and I just rehearsed one with you.
Right.
And he told them Pharisees, what are you doing? Who warned you? In other words, who's your preacher? Who warned you? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who told you? Who told you you were in trouble?
Right.
Who's your preacher? Now, so I'm going to ask you another question. What's that question? Who's been your preacher? And the Lord said, you had John. And you listen, they came to his baptizing services. And wanted to be baptized. And he said, I ain't baptizing you guys. Mm-mm. You got to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance first.
Right.
Prove to me you've been saved. Let me see a changed life.
Right.
So even John preached on converted life. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're so good they didn't need no changes.
Nope. Come on.
Just ask a Pharisee if he's all right. Where am I wrong? Doing all I can do. I'm pretty good Joe. I tithe. Isn't that what that publican said? I fast twice a week. I'm not like other men. He's like that leper's just got one little spot, and his arm ain't hanging off like that one over there.
Right.
See, here's the thing. What you're going to have to listen to is the witness. Man, said, well, there just ain't no preachers I can trust anymore. Well, then why don't you read the old ones that you can trust? You didn't even meet them. You know, the Lord said, you take your polishing rag, and you just shine up all them old preachers, and you shine up their tombstones and all that. Polish them up and say, boy, if they was here, we'd listen to them. And you got a witness now and you ain't listening to him.
Right.
Don't say you listen to them if you won't listen to the one God sent you now. That's what he's saying to them. That's what he's saying. I'm not saying that to you. I believe you. I believe you hear me. I believe you want to hear me. I do believe that. I don't believe that you're trying to find something wrong in me, because if you want to, I can tell you more than you want to know.
Right.
I can say like Elijah, I'm a man of like passions as you are.
Mm-hmm.
The same temptations you have, I have. The same kind of problems you got, I got. But God has saved me from them having dominion over me.
That's it.
Things bother me. Unruly kids bother me. You all knew that already. Some of you got upset one night because I told a kid quit running in and out. Well, you had any right doing that. Well, you ain't the preacher. You ain't listening to this witness. You won't listen to any witness.
That's right.
I'm sorry. There's just some things bothering me.
Sure.
And one of the reasons they bother me is because I think people ought to be paying attention to what's going on.
Right.
And when somebody gets up and jumps up and acts like a Comanche Indian running back and acting like a fool, and everybody's watching him. Wait a minute. Am I just cornbread and beans? Sorry, you get mad for me saying that. Tough. If you're the one that got upset, then get over it. And understand something. You don't know how kids all act. Maybe yourself. You might need some instruction. I mean, I'll ask you a question. Did your mom and daddy spank you when you was growing up the right way? Read the Bible the right way to you and teach you how to be a decent kid? Then you ought to know how to have yours that way too.
Amen.
So why you bring something like this up? Because people have problems with preachers. Mm-hmm. They have problems with me in West Virginia. And you would too. Well, I wish Brother Tim was my pastor. Maybe you don't.
Right.
You just better be glad I come four times a year and I don't stay here all the time. Even Brother Dan said one time, he said, I don't know if you remember saying this to me. He said, man, you are tough at your church. I thought you was tough at our church. He said, you have said some things. Wow! Remember when you told me that? Any of you listen to my CDs, you'll find out. I'm a powder puff here sometimes. I mean as a junkyard dog. I'm a sheepdog. And I'm looking for trouble. I break the jaw teeth out of wolves. I'm supposed to. I don't like wolves. Because wolves like to eat sheep. And grievous wolves come. You know what happens? They just start. I was listening to Dr. Ray on the way down here. He was talking about wolves in the church. He said all they do is bark and snarl and growl all the time and grumble and complain about everything. That's a wolf. He said, and if you complain and grumble and try to find fault with a preacher all the time, you ain't nothing but a wolf. And I said, amen. I'm driving my car down the road. Amen. Well, I wish he was allowed to preach out of my church. God said, you're alive, you preach it. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, I will.
Amen.
Preach it while I hear Brother Pascal's too. Let them know there's birds on the wing and I get messages. Anyways, some of my people say, have you been at my house? How do you know that that was being said? I didn't know it was being said, but now you're telling me it was said.
Right.
If you don't want me to know you're the one said it, don't bark after I throw the stone.
That's right.
Because if you didn't say it, you ain't guilty and somebody lied on you. You were falsely accused. But if you did say it, you weren't falsely accused. You're guilty as a hound dog sucking eggs, ain't you? Facebook getting you in trouble. I'm telling you, getting you in trouble. Anyways.
Come on.
Y'all with me? Come on, you might as well go for a ride.
Right.
Four witnesses. Four. John the Baptist. The next one he talks about, the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, by the way, these four witnesses is just my introduction. I have three major points. So my first witness was not my first point.
Right.
It's just a point to get me to my points.
Right.
John the Baptist. Well, how many of you would like to hear him? Seriously. I would.
Yeah.
I'd have liked to heard him preach. Jesus said you rejoiced in the light that he had. You rejoiced. Man, what a preacher! Even Herod, even the king, said he enjoyed what he heard from John the Baptist, but he wouldn't do what John the Baptist said.
That's right.
I can show you the verse, but I don't know where it is right off the top of my head. But it said Herod rejoiced in the messages that John preached. And then he had his head cut off because he listened to his wife. You men, be careful.
That's right.
Be careful. You cut the preacher's head off because your wife got tired of something. Then you won't get no help in your life.
That's right.
You better listen to what God's saying.
That's right.
You're welcome. I'm trying to be ugly. Abraham's wife got him in trouble. Mm-hmm. Adam's wife got him in trouble. Is there any more?
Yeah.
Herod's wife got him in trouble. Of course, it was his second wife. She was mad because the preacher preached against her marriage.
That's right.
See, he stuck his finger. He stuck his finger in the president's nose.
That's right.
Said, it ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife.
That's right.
Made her mad. Well, you make her mad and you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
I said, her. And if you're one of those kind of hers, then you can stir your husband up too. If you ain't one of those kind of hers, that ain't bothering you what I'm saying.
That's
is.
Right. That's right.
You said, amen, Brother Tibius. Huh?
Right.
See, listen, when you get down to where people live, you find out what they really listen to, what they really believe about the preacher. Listen, I love you. You're just going to have to put up with me.
Yeah.
I don't have to put up with you because I have to hear you preach, but you have to listen to me. I'm here. Mm-hmm. So you're being a smart aleck. Probably. Maybe I'm like Elijah. Hey, perhaps your God's sitting on a toilet or something. He's on a journey.
Yeah.
Or he's sleeping. He can't hear you pray right now.
Yeah.
It's all right as long as you don't meddle with their little god. You know, as long as you don't meddle with their idol.
Right.
I heard a preacher say the other day, I'd rather a man smoke cigars than gossip at the church. Mm. I get along with better when a man smokes cigars than I can with a man who gossips. Mm. The old preacher, that woman come, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, well, there's about 30 foot here. I hope there's enough room. He's sitting in the living room and licked the kitchen skillet. But you know what? I know some men, they're just as guilty because they let her do it.
Yeah. You're right.
Well, I like to kiss her at night, and if I take my stand, mine would just go without some sugar for a while. Well, it don't bother her bad, it bothers me bad. Well, I just have to be bothered then. You can ask my wife. I was never mean to her. I wasn't. She's mean to me. But anyway,
You say that, Coach.
She might agree. I don't know. I've been a little rough around the edges. You can't tell, can you? About the only thing that kept us together is a thing called Jesus and love. That's about it. Now, you know, it'll keep us together too, won't it?
Uh-huh.
If you have a problem now, you know, and you really love me, you'll pray for me and ask God to correct me on it.
Right.
Just ain't no telling what he'll say if you try to get him to correct me on it. You know what? I turned this thing on today earlier. Just as sure as I'm standing here, that thing will do something. I can get it off my side. I was thinking it was this other thing. Now where were we? We was on the witnesses, wasn't we?
Right.
We got the witness of John the Baptist. Got the witness of the Scriptures. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life.
Right.
But there they would testify of me. So that's another witness, isn't it?
Right.
The Scriptures is another witness of Jesus, ain't
sure
it?
Sure.
How much Scripture you got there? You even got writing in your Scriptures. That's all right. I can't see it from without my glasses on anyway. Brother
place.
Tim is wrong on this one. Anyways, no, I mean... Well, it's all right. I like that. That means you've been listening. Something got a hold of you, and you wrote it down, and that's good. When I read it, does it sound like I'm speaking in British? Anyway, so you got. don't do that. So you got all the Scriptures, don't you?
Right.
And you even got some preaching Scriptures in there. You got some things preacher said, and some things maybe you got like that. You wrote it down, didn't you? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a witness in there, don't you?
Right.
Hey, how many here have 66 books in a King James Bible? You got it? You got a witness. You got another witness. Listen. Hey, listen. I like this verse. I like it so much it became a memory verse. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth. Boy, I tell you, I'm telling you, after I heard it, went down. Yeah, the word heard just doesn't mean ear gate. The word heard, if you study, it means to perceive. It means to come to understanding.
Right.
So, if when I read the Bible, God lets me remember maybe a message I heard from another preacher before I got saved, and it made it enlighten me on it, and so I could interpret the Scriptures through a Holy Ghost preaching message.
That's right.
and it helped me. So the scriptures became another witness.
Exactly right.
Hey, you got a Bible? You got a witness.
Right.
You read it?
I've been good to it.
Do you read it?
Yeah, come on.
You knew I was going to say something about reading it, didn't you, Brother Randy? He told me what you and him said one time about it. I knew he was going to be preaching on here. You're getting that Bible, read it. Before it's over with this week, you're going to say something. Brother Tim's going to say something about it. Huh?
Yeah.
You've said that, ain't you? True, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I believe reading the Bible is a witness from God.
Right.
Oh, I believe you ought to read that book. I believe you ought to read God's Word. If Jesus said search the Scriptures, then you better do it.
Right.
John 5:39, isn't that where it says it? Right there?
Right.
So you got the Scriptures that say that in the Scriptures. Did Jesus say it? Is it in red letters in your Bible? And Jesus said that. So you got, he's preaching to people. So listen, how would he say it today? Right now, if he said it, how would he say it right now? Well, I believe he'd say, you got Tim Rumford.
That's right. Right?
He's a witness.
That's right.
Now, I don't need any man to witness of me or testify of me. But he's saying, I used him. He's in your life. You've heard him. I believe he'd say, Brother Ed Paschal.
Right.
Pastor Paschal. He'd say that, wouldn't he? Would he or wouldn't he? You think he would? I think he would. You believe he'd say that? I believe he would. Anybody hear Dr. Ray on a CD? Then you've been as good at hearing him.
Yeah.
So would he say, well, you got this preacher, you got this preacher, and you got this preacher, and you got
right.
this preacher, and you got this preacher,
right.
and you got this preacher. And he only told them about John the Baptist.
Uh-huh.
And then the Scriptures.
Right.
And then the last two verses there in John 5. What are the last two verses? What's the numbers on them? I'm down here. You help me. 46 and 47. Who's he talking about being a witness there? Moses. Now, had they ever heard Moses? Had they heard Moses, those guys? He has gone a long time before they was born. Well, how'd they hear Moses? Scriptures.
Scriptures.
But he said, you have Moses as a witness. Wow. Well, there's three. You told us about three, preacher. You told us about three. Well, Jesus was the first one. Huh? He said, you got me. I'm here now. Who's got an excuse? Can I ask you who's got an excuse not to believe what they've heard? Tell me you got an excuse. Say, well, Brother Rutherford wasn't really right. Whole time we find out he wasn't really right. Well, I don't know how you'll find that out, but nonetheless, if you think you found that out, let me ask you this. Would you find out John the Baptist wasn't real? Would you find out the Apostle Paul wasn't real? Would you find out Peter the Apostle wasn't real? He preached in Acts 2. There's a recorded message of Peter. Why don't you listen to that one?
Right.
He told them while he preached to them and said, you're guilty of crucifying the Son of God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Back up.
Woo! See, you got other witnesses. You ever read after Jeremiah? He is a preacher.
Sure.
Now, if you don't want to listen to a preacher because he was really bad wrong and he did wrong in his life, then don't read the Psalms and don't believe anything David wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to tell you, I only had one thing against David.
Mm-hmm.
Only one thing I had against him. You think David did other things other than what he did to Uriah the Hittite? But God said, I only got one. There's only one thing sticks out in my mind about David. Wow, think about that. Think about it. Did Moses ever do wrong? Well, when he smoked that rock second time, he was supposed to talk to it. Well, see, Moses did wrong, so therefore I ain't got to listen to him. So you're going to find yourself in an awful shape.
That's right.
That one time, Paul shaved his head, literally did a law thing and shaved his head to make the Jews not mad at him and went into the synagogue. And obeyed a law to let the Jews know that he believed the Bible and the Word
Amen.
Of God.
Yeah, he did.
Some commentaries I've read after said he shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Ain't that strange? Y'all hear me, Tall.
Come on.
You listen, you want to find some dirt? I guarantee I can find some on you too, can't I?
That's right.
Why don't you believe what is being preached out of the Bible as it is? It's pretty clear, ain't it? You might as well just come on with me. I'm the one driving. You're the one stupid enough to get on the bus. Hold on. Okay. We're going for a ride. We've already gone for a ride, ain't we? A little ways. So we got the four witnesses. They're right there. John 5. Jesus talked about himself being a witness. Talked about John the Baptist being a witness. Talked about the scriptures being a witness. Talked about Moses being a witness. Told them all that. But then he also told them in the midst of all that,
right,
you don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, somewhere, some of you have claimed to believe what I've preached because some of you have said you got saved while I was preaching. So you must have believed something I said.
Sure.
I didn't ask you to believe everything I said about how you ought to do this and do that. I ain't said that. I think you'd be stupid not to. I think I'm right. But anyways. Well, you sure are stubborn about that. I sure am. I have testosterone. I don't have estrogen. Anyways. Well, there's something that our day, they don't like manhood today. Don't you dare, you ladies of this church that read that Bible, don't you dare get in with that woman leading the country and stuff. Don't do that. Well, Sarah Palin, I'd vote for her. I wouldn't. Well, she was right. You know, a woman can do, I don't go there with me. I ain't voting for it. No more than I'd vote for an associate pastor being a woman in my church. I'm sorry. I know I'm narrow-minded and I'm bigoted and all that stuff. I know. Well, there was a woman prophetess in the book of Kings. Oh, yeah. And what kind of shape was Israel in when she was a prophetess? Woo, I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want to say, well, we have women preachers. That's because there wasn't enough men to follow God.
Yeah.
It was a slap in a Jew's man's face. God did it on purpose, and he even let her be one. Woo. But when Israel got right, it was Nehemiah and Ezra, men, Zephaniah and Haggai, the two prophets. They were men. The women had their part because it even says all the families helped build the wall. Boy, to get mama and the children helping to build the walls of God again.
Amen.
Build up the right stuff.
That's right.
Listen, you say, well, you're just going everywhere. I got so much Bible to preach to you this week, I ain't got time.
Right.
I mean, I got so much I've looked at, so much I've studied since I was here last time, I can't get it all to you. You say, well, you sure are trying. You better believe I am.
Amen. Come on.
I'm in it. Asking you a question now. What witness has God put in your life that you've believed? If you're saved, you can say, I believe the witness. If you're lost, I can honestly say, you ain't believed the witness altogether yet, or you'd be saved.
Right.
Now, have you believed anything? Well, sure you have. Sure you've believed something. I have people in my church always talking about how they've prayed for things. They say they're lost. And they say, God answered my prayer about this business deal and this job that I've got. I don't have no problem with that. I believe he does. But you know what I say to him? Have you believed God saved you yet? You believe he can take care of your business. You believe he can take care of your family. You believe he can pay your bills for you. Have you trusted him for your soul? If you can trust him for that, you can't trust him for your soul. They get quiet. And the one always says, well, I just don't know what to do right now. I said, repent, and he'll say, and believe. He'll end it with me. I knew you were going to say that, preacher. I said, well, why didn't you say the whole thing with repent and believe?
Right.
Because I love them. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help them hear the witness. What is a witness? Y'all know what a witness is, don't you? Somebody who has done something wrong and you have seen them do wrong, and you end up in court to testify of the wrong they did, you are called a witness.
Right.
But now in this position, We've got men that didn't do nothing wrong. They've done something right. They're witnesses of things that are true. Woo-hoo! Man, witnesses of things that are true, that are hooked up to truth. I'm not here to tell you lies. I'm not here to preach things that ain't in that book right there.
Right.
So, well, you're on your message, ain't you, preacher? I'm on my message. Why would a man, after he's heard all this, not believe yet? Now, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said now. It's a little tough. It's a little tough. But you know what? If everybody that heard it would have believed what he said, they'd have got saved right there. Because they'd have had to say, I'm in rank unbelief. Listen, can I ask you a question? If you're not saved, does the Bible not say that the wrath of God abides on you? See, you're hoping and you're expecting to find out God loves you. And that's why you're staying with it. And I'm glad you are.
Amen.
I wouldn't want you not to.
Right.
But I'm going to say this. You need to really find out what you believe. You do. You need to find out what you believe. What do you believe? Listen, I told you I'm doing a plagiaristic thing right now. I'm going to take the message Jesus preached, and I'm going to tell you what he said to them. Now, if you fit in this, you can see where you fit. I believe you can. I believe you'll be able to see where you fit. One of your problems is you're seeking the wrong glory. And you're going to have to get that fixed up. So, I'm going to ask you another question. If these men were there listening, were they seeking? Come on, it's an easy question, and it should be an easy answer. They were seeking. Huh? They no doubt they were seeking. They was here to hear what he said. They was congregated. They were assembling. So could you call these people seekers? Yes. Yes, you could. You sure could. You could call them all seekers. But you couldn't call them all believers. That's the difference. When you struggle at that point, what you struggle with is believing that it's for you. Are you seeking it? I believe you are. But you're still not believing. And in this shape of in the Scriptures is where I believe you can find yourself. I'm trying to help you now. Why men don't believe.
Right. Yep.
Let me explain something to you. The night I got saved, I'm going to tell you this. The very night I got saved, I believed the witnesses I'd been hearing. I didn't argue what they were saying. There was no more argument left in me.
Amen.
And you know what? The night I got saved, I found myself not caring what anybody thought if I got saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the head deacon in the church, you know what I'm talking about. I knew he'd say, you just got confused. That Charles Shipman got you all messed up. And you know what? I agreed with him when he said it. that's what curled his hair and he's bald. I said, you know what? I agree with you. He did mess me up.
Right.
He proved to me I wasn't saved in his preaching.
Amen.
And I never had a call of God in my life. I never had a reality of my sins being forgiven. But now I do. Yeah, that old preacher messed me up. And I'm sure enough glad he did.
Right.
Dr. Ray messed me up.
Yeah.
He hit my cistern. Put his hammer in my cistern. Busted a hole in my cistern. And every time I put water in it, it just run out of the hole. I didn't have nothing to hold water in me no more. I found out I needed a well. I needed the Holy Ghost in me. I needed something that was always in me that nobody else put in me but God.
That's right.
A well is not a man-made thing. It's something that a man taps into. God made it.
That's right.
God made wells Men just tap into them.
That's right.
Hey, you're to tap in.
Right.
Most people know what tap out means nowadays. And you men know what tap out means. You watch them in them cage fighters things. You ever seen that? And they tap out. Well, you need to learn how to tap in. How to get the drill of working that Jesus has got in your life to get to where the water is so you can have a well. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you need, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, now, well, preacher, really, I've already gotten some of my message already told you. Listen, first of all, it's a disturbing message that Jesus preaches. Listen, this is a disturbing message. This is not a message. This is not a message that makes you feel good. This is not a feel-good message.
Right.
You don't go out of there saying, "Whoa, what a message." You say, "Man, he condemned me. He condemned me." When I was building my building up there in West Virginia, trying to get the building built, the woman said, "How much land are you going to disturb?" I said, wait.
Yeah.
Disturb? I know y'all have heard me talk about this before, but I'm preaching on a disturbing message. You only disturb something that can be disturbed.
Right.
Like, all right, when you get up and walk out, I'm going to do that all night until you get out of here. Boom, 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 boom. You're going to say, "Little Brother Tim, look, I love you, but you ought to disturb me." However you'd say it. "Well, disturb it." I can't say it. Forget it. I can't change my language. But I could do this all night to this pew. And that pew ain't never going to say, "Stop, you're disturbing me," because it ain't alive.
Right.
Was Jesus disturbing them? Did he disturb them? He wasn't. Listen, I'm going to use you again. He wasn't going like this. He was going like this. He wasn't doing like that. He wasn't going, "Oh." He wasn't doing that. He was going, "Hey, hey, hey. You hear me? Are you hearing me? Hey, are you hearing me?" Now, if I kept doing that, I know you, Brother Dan, you love me, but you'd say, "Brother Dan, that's enough." Wouldn't you? Well, maybe not. Maybe he'd go home and say, "Well, he made his point." So how much land are you going to disturb? I can't disturb something unless it got feelings. So I didn't say that right. Unless it has feelings. It just got in my way. King's English got in my way, and I just stomped on it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it that way. But you can't. I can't disturb this carpet. I can't disturb this floor. But if you was downstairs and I was doing that, I'd be disturbing you after a while.
Right.
Especially if you was trying to sleep.
Right.
Like some folks try to sleep when I'm preaching. And you disturb me too much. I can't sleep. I had a man tell me when I pastored Owens in Kentucky, he'd come and hear me preach because he'd heard about me. He's walking out the door and he said, "I ain't coming back here no more." I said, "Why? What did I say? I say something offensive?" He said, "No, you can't sleep in this church."
Amen.
I really doubt there was too many people nodding the day Jesus was preaching in John 5. Because he wasn't preaching to the people that weren't there. I want to tell you something, I ain't either. I'm trying to preach to you. If I can disturb you enough about your wicked unbelief, you'll see how terrible it is not to listen to what God sent your way.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. You want to think? Listen, you really want to understand? Listen, it's a terrible thing. It was awful when I did it. God's been loud in my life. I mean, them old preachers that my daddy used to have come by, old Dr. Ray and them, they didn't say, "All right, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. No. Sound like you had a bullhorn. "Open your Bible!" I mean, just, pow. Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe Jesus was talking with a lisp when he said this. Look at it with me, disturbing message. Now let me explain this to you. He was telling them that they needed to investigate something. When he said in verse 39, search the scriptures. It's a message that exclaims to them they need to investigate something. And all the way down, I got in my notes here, verses 39 through 43 is a message that God is explaining, an exclamation of investigation. You need to really look into this thing. It's an expression also in verse 44 of inability. Look at it in the first part of verse 44. How can ye believe? If you study that word, how can you believe? You know what the Lord's saying? You can't believe right now. You know what he's saying? It's impossible for you to believe right now. What? I thought his message would be, you can believe. No, he's saying you can't believe in the situation you're in right now. That's why you're in unbelief. Because you can't believe in the, you can't believe in the situation you're in right now.
That's right.
Now what does he say? How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?
That's right.
I don't want you to get saved to honor me.
That's right.
If you're looking, you know, well, if I get saved, it'll bless Brother Tim so much. Why don't you think about how much God will be praised and glorified for saving your wretched soul?
Right.
See, let me explain something else to you. If you're concerned about what Brother so-and-so thinks about your life and what you believe and all that, then you're not really so concerned about what God believes about you right now.
Right.
You know what they were doing? They were seeking honor one of another.
Right.
Did I not bring that up this morning? That Paul wrote to them and said, you can't be right. You're not right in your thinking because you're measuring yourself with others.
Right.
And you're carnal when you do that. You're fleshly.
Right.
Measure, listen. Hey, measure yourself what God says about you right now. If the Lord would stand in front of you and judge you in your life right now, in your heart right now, what would he say? You know what? When that's the way it is, it don't matter what anybody else says. Don't matter what your friends think. I'm getting in it. Oh, we heard you got religion. That's what my friends all said to me. We heard you got religion, Tim. No, I had religion.
Yeah.
I partied with them on Friday night and almost all day Saturday. Then I'd go to church on Sunday and sing, Amazing Grace. And they did too. Like we partied on Friday night and Saturday. And read our Bibles too. I read my Bible. Well, boy, if I get saved, man, I'm not going to be able to stay around those friends no more. Well, you better believe that. Yeah, and I didn't have no trouble leaving them either when I got saved. I didn't have no trouble. But prior to getting saved, I thought, well, what do my friends think? You know, when you start worrying about what other people would think about you, you're in trouble.
Right.
What about, what would God say about you right now?
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you ain't standing before God right now, but you will someday.
Right, preacher, right.
And when you do, what's he going to say about what you did with what you heard?
That's right.
And what you cared about in your life?
That's right. Amen.
Listen, I couldn't even be. Listen, my daddy was the pastor of the church. And I was his song leader. And I taught fifth and sixth grade boys. Now, when I did that, I wasn't back. I wasn't out with my friends then. I became very religious then.
Yeah.
And I quit all my sinning. Hey, y'all, listen to me.
Yeah.
I quit all that stuff. I didn't even have a television. I didn't have a Field and Stream magazine in my house. Not saying that was a sin. I didn't have nothing in my house except gospel singing, gospel preaching, and Bible stuff. That's all I had. Didn't have a television. Boy, I was squeaky clean, man. According to Independent Baptist, I was clean as a hound's tooth and straight as a gun barrel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But God knew I'd only made a profession and never got saved. He knew my life had never changed.
Right.
And He wouldn't leave me alone. Mm-hmm. You know what? The night I got saved, I loved my dad. I loved the other preachers that I'd hung around. But that night, I didn't care what they thought about
it. That's right.
I had to get right with God.
Amen.
I was going to have to stand before God someday and give account of my soul to God Himself.
Amen.
I'm accountable, and so are you.
Yeah.
But thank God He's accessible.
Yeah. Amen.
He can be reached. Mm-hmm. Now, just let me say this. Well, I'm not worried. There ain't anybody in the church would be upset if I got saved. But in your religious actions, in your religious activity, are you proud of what you are? They were. They were very proud of what they were. And Jesus was saying, man, you haven't even believed the witnesses yet. You don't think that was a disturbing message to religious people that were? Whew. They were the upper crust in religion. I'm about done. I'm disturbing some of you now because I've preached a little longer. You might be dreaming about that. You might have a nightmare thinking somebody's thumping you on the shoulder. Maybe it's your wife. I don't know. This message might get you so much, you might have a dream and be thumping your wife on the shoulder. Her wake up. What you doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I was dreaming. you ever been bothered so bad that you took it home with you? Couldn't get it off your mind? Couldn't get things of God off your mind? Couldn't get your heart with God off your mind? Boy, that's good.
That's it.
Well, when a message disturbs you that much, business is picking up.
That's right.
I'll tell you one thing. I got some of y'all's attention tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
You might be smiling, but there's fumes coming out of your nose holes. Well, I can't wait to get back on faith. Anyway, you know what he preached tonight? I love you.
Sure.
I know you think it's just a tomcat message. I'm scratching on everything. Well, I'm scratching on what's in the text. I don't think you can argue that.
Right.
He's asking them, how can you believe? You know what that means? That means there's a time when it's impossible for you to believe. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. If you study the Greek word itself, how can ye believe? It's the Greek word that says you are unable.
That's right.
You cannot.
That's exactly right, preacher. Exactly right.
No ability.
That's right.
To believe right now.
That's right.
Because you got this one over here, and you got that thing over there, and you got that over there, and you got this over here. And if I get saved, I can't drink Bud Dumber no more either. I can't watch bad movies no more. And I can't listen to bad music no more. Boy, I tell you, I don't want to lose my life like that. I like my life. I kind of like my sinning. But don't get mad at God if you like your sinning and then you say God didn't choose you. God let you choose what you wanted. He gave you your free will. You chose what you wanted. If you want God, you can go along with God tonight. You can let this message mess you up so bad you get saved. Now he's also saying something else. He's saying you're seeking the wrong honor. Who's going to get honor if you get saved? If it's real salvation, he gets the honor.
That's right.
If you're concerned about how your life's going to change and you just don't know that you can pay that price, and it's going to cost too much, then you're not going to get saved under those circumstances. You're going to have to get the I don't cares about your flesh and about this world and about your life.
Right.
I really don't care what anybody says about me. I care that I'm right with God.
Right.
You ever see an old sinner that really cares about that? You'll find him like Paul. Man, Paul didn't eat or drink for 3 days, fasting and praying. Troubled. Troubled. Pricked in the heart in Acts chapter 2, they was. Ox goaded. I'm going to try to do that to you this week. I am. I'm going to try to disturb you in some way. Man, preacher doesn't think, he doesn't think too well of me. I sang a song years ago, my daddy used to sing. The preacher just then his sermon began, and he looked right straight down on me. He told everybody how evil I was, and he didn't seem to think much of me. Well, then something got a hold of me. Praise God. Well, listen, I do love you, but I hate your sin as much as God does, because it'll send you to hell, and I don't want you to go there.
That's right.
Hell's an awful place.
Yeah.
Ain't a good place. I don't want nobody to go there. Right. I'll tell you the truth. If Obama got saved, I'd rejoice.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd have to find out if it was true or not. I'd have to knock on his door and ask him what happened. He'd probably have to resign his position as president. You're welcome. He'd have to step up to become a Christian. Step down from where he's at. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you. Either that, or he'd have to sign something and just know for sure somebody's going to blow his head off because he got right with God.
Right.
This world don't want no president that's right with God. Don't you tell me they do. No. Well, Ted Turner, is that his name? What's his name? What's that guy's name?
Trump.
Donald Trump. Well, I can't remember. That's how much I've watched it. Donald Trump. Yeah, Ted Turner, Donald Trump. You know what? You want him for president? Well, he's saying some good stuff. He was so untrustworthy in his marriage. His first wife divorced him because he was running around with other women. And he's made all his money in gambling casinos, most of it. Well, he's a businessman. That's not a businessman. You know what they do in casinos? They slop booze and sell prostitutes and steal people's money. You know what? Come on, get out. Well, you're making a political statement. I think he's the best. Well, fine. Vote for him. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Old John the Baptist wouldn't have pulled the arm down on him. Jesus ain't going to vote for him. You say, I don't know about it. Well, ask him. He only votes for people that want purity. The only ones that are elect are those that go after holiness.
Yeah, amen.
And righteousness. The elect run after purity and righteousness
amen.
And holiness. God wouldn't elect him.
Right.
Well, he puts them up and takes them down. You got it right. And I'll tell you why he puts some of them up. Because that's what we deserve. It's judgment. Pharaoh was even God's servant, according to the book of Romans.
Yeah, amen.
Well, it's a disturbing message because it has a dishonored master. The master's Jesus, and it dishonors Jesus. Listen, if it honors men, then it dishonors Jesus if it keeps you from getting saved. Now, I'm about done. A discovery is made in the message. And that is, they're seeking the wrong thing. And that's why they couldn't get saved. Will you be still and think about what it is you're really seeking? I'm going to close with this. Jesus never asked anybody if they wanted to go to heaven when they died. But he said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.